Mom can do it all, whether it's fighting off evil entities or simply sending a precious message from beyond. We'll cover all the possibilities on this special Mother's Day edition of The Campfire.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to The Campfire. I am Jim Harold. So glad to be with you for this special Mother's Day edition of The Campfire. Unless you think this episode is going to be all sweetness and light, and there certainly is some of that. There's also some moms fighting off evil entities, as we'll soon find out. So stay tuned for all these different mom stories. And today's show is dedicated to all of the moms out there, and also dedicated to those who have lost their moms, like me. And I think of my mom and my mother-in-law and the moms who have gone on. So if you have your mom with you, give her a big hug. And I hope you enjoy our stories today. First of all, though, I got to tell you about something very cool. We just released True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire 6. That is both in the ebook form and in the paperback form. That is our sixth book of the Campfire series, and you can read them in any order. And if you haven't read one yet, I suggest you start with this one because it is the best one. I don't think there's any doubt about it. 65 great stories from the archives at the Campfire, and you can get yours on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, and you can get all the links, whether you're in the U.S. or you're international, by going to jimharold.com and clicking on the big green button that says Get Jim's New Campfire Book. Click here. It's right at the top of the page. You can't miss it. And then you'll be able to get up places, as I said, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, and the list goes on and on. So I hope you enjoy it. Thanks to everybody who has already purchased one. We had a strong start. We appreciate it, but got a long way to go. And if you do get it and you enjoy it, please rate and review it, because that means so much. And now on to these great stories about mom.
Rick is on the line all the way from Texas. Now imagine nighttime and there's something knocking on your window. Well, I got to tell you, that's frightening enough. But wait till you find what was knocking on Rick's window. We're so glad to have him with us. I know his buddy Rob told him about the shows. Rob was listening to shows. Rick overheard it, said, I want to check that out. He became a fan. So Rob, thank you. And make that a lesson, everybody. Please play the show out loud so we can get a lot of people listening. Rick, thanks so much for joining us. Tell us what happened with this strange thing knocking on your windows at night.
No problem. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. This all started back in 2000, back when I was 13. It was during the summertime, and for most people who live in South Texas know how hot it gets during here during the summertime. So I was laying in bed, and back then we didn't have any air cons. All we had were little fans. So I like to sleep with my window open and the curtain open so I can get some air in as well. This one particular night when it first started happening, I was asleep and I heard like little tapping on the window. I thought nothing of it, so I just continued to sleep, and the tapping kept growing and increasing and increasing. So I finally woke up, and I see this outline of a shadow. It looked like a person, but he had like no features. It was just like a dark figure.
Right.
The only thing I could notice on him was two red eyes.
Oh my.
So I woke up and I stared at it, and then I screamed, and being 13 at the time, my parents ran into the room and they were asking me what was wrong. And I kept pointing out the window. They looked out the window and they didn't see anything. So my dad went outside. I had my dad's do this flashlight. He didn't find anything. So, we just played it off. They go, it was just your imagination. So I thought, okay, maybe I was just seeing things. So a couple of nights go by, I don't notice anything again. And then once again, I hear the tapping on the window.
Oh, man.
This time I opened up my eyes, and it wasn't on the window. It was near my bed.
So oh, man.
At this point, I am starting to freak out even more. And again, I scream for my parents. They run into the room. And I tell him what I saw. And when I told him what I saw, my dad had that look on his face. So you're just imagining things. And then I see my mom, and she has this kind of like shocked look on her face. That plays into the story a little bit later on. So they again leave my room, and a couple of nights go by, and then it happens again. It starts off with the tapping like always. And this time I felt a little pressure on my arm. I wake up, and this thing is next to my bed with what I see, an outline of an arm pressing down on my shoulder.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I wake up again, and I start screaming again. My parents run in. This time I take a look at where he was pressing down. It was all red and with two scratches on me.
Oh, man. And physical proof. Yeah,
Yeah, and then my mom was like, did you scratch yourself at 9? I'm like, no, it was the same thing that I've been seeing And throughout this goes on about 2 months. And then by the third month of this happening, my mom had become sick earlier that year with breast cancer. And she had ended up passing away 2 months after that. And like once again, we hear the little tapping, and I wake up again in the middle of the night. It had been 2 weeks since my mom had passed away. Oh. And within those 2 weeks, I didn't see or hear from that shadow figure. And then once again, I hear the tapping, and this was after the funeral, the 2 weeks after the funeral. And then I hear the tapping again. But this time when I woke up, it was like kind of hovering over me with my shoulders pressed down. And by this point, I'm freaking out. I try to scream, but nothing comes out. And then I hear what I think is my mom's voice saying, speaking in Spanish, leave my child alone. And this thing just looks into the corner of my room. And then all of a sudden just dissipates. Again, I wake up, and I have scratches on one of my shoulders, and the other one just has a red mark. I ran to my dad's room, and I told him what was going on. And then that's when finally my dad goes, well, since your mom's no longer here, I feel like I can tell you this. Growing up, my parents they grew up next to each other, and they were raised together. So my dad had told me that when my mom was 13, the same age that I was seeing this thing, that she was seeing something similar to what I was seeing.
Wow. Wow. Now, do you think that was some kind of an omen of some type?
For that, I don't really know. My dad always told me that my mom felt like she had a curse on her, because I was the only one that saw it. And the people on her side of the family are the only one that have seen this thing as well. My dad has never seen it, and his side of the family has never experienced anything like this.
And it never came back again after that last incident?
After that last incident? No, I've never seen it again.
Wow. Wow. That's quite a story, Rick, I got to tell you. And again, sorry about you losing your mom at a young age. It has to be very, very tough. But obviously, she cared for you very much, and she was there to defend you even though she had passed beyond this life. And apparently scared whatever this thing is off. So she was still there for you.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, even though I did lose her, I feel like I gained her as like a protector looking over me. So that's one good thing that did come out of this.
There you have it. Well, Rick, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank Rob again for telling you about the show, and we appreciate you both being a part of the campfire.
No problem, sir. Thank you for having me.
Tamara is on the line from Vancouver, Canada, and we're so glad to have her on the line. She said she's been listening for a couple of years, and she said, hey, I think it's my turn to put a story back into the pot, which I think is great. So if you listen to the show and you enjoy it, one way that you can support us is sign up at jimherald.com/campfire and tell your story just like Tamara did, or is going to. Tamara, welcome to the show. And this is a cool story. Please tell us about it.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. So my mom passed away in 2016. And prior to her passing, I haven't had the best of luck when it comes to love and dating. And she really wanted to see me find somebody like a boyfriend or a husband and settle down. But unfortunately, she didn't stick around long enough to see that happen. But about a year ago, I started to date a guy that was seemingly very perfect for me. you know, he had a really good job. He was super handsome, really, really lovely guy. And we were dating for only about a week. And we had plans to do something on a Friday night. And leading up to that day, my mom kept coming into my dreams like every night. And she was constantly in my thoughts. And just there were signs of my mom sort of like everywhere. And before I left for work on that Friday morning, I said to my roommate, you know, I don't know why, but I keep thinking about my mom and she keeps popping into my dreams and I feel like she's trying to tell me something, but I don't know what. I can't figure it out, but it's significant enough that, you know, So I go to work and a couple hours into my shift, I see a phone call come in from the guy that I was supposed to go out with later on that night. Mm-hmm. I was at work, so I couldn't accept the phone call. So I just hit decline. So it would just go straight to voicemail. And a couple minutes later, I get a text message from him. And he says, hey, I'm really sorry, but I have to cancel tonight. I just tried to call you, but it was strange because it went to some other voicemail. It wasn't yours. It was some other lady on the line, and she said her name was Carol Ann.
Huh.
Now, the funny thing about that is that, number one, he didn't even know that my mother had passed. And two, he didn't know that her name was Carol Ann.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there, and I shared an office with a couple of people, and I just freaked out. And everyone was, what's going on? What's wrong? And I told them the story, and I just about fell off my chair. And I said, I got to take this call. So I call him and I said, what did you just say? And he goes, yeah, I'm really sorry. I got to cancel tonight. But it's really strange. I just tried to call you, but I think it was the wrong number because it was some other lady on the line. And yeah, she said her name was Caroline. And I said, no, you didn't call the wrong number. You called my phone number because I saw the call come in. I hit decline. Are you sure that you heard the name Carol Ann? And he goes, clear as day, it was absolutely not you. It was some other lady's voice. And I promise you, her name was Carol Ann. And I said, that's my mother's name. And she died in 2016. Now, this guy was a medical professional and very scientifically minded and didn't really believe in this stuff, I don't think. And he just went silent.
Huh.
Absolutely silent. He just said, what? And I said, yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's now, did it work out with him or didn't work out?
It didn't, unfortunately. Oh, we're still friends. Lots of reasons, but lovely person. But yeah, I think it was my mom trying to say something like, don't screw it up, buddy.
But what are the chances? I mean, you know, it could have been her name was this, if it were a wires cross situation, because weird things happen with telecommunications, the name could have been Brittany or it could have been Susan or it could have been any of a thousand names.
Right.
But Carol Ann, which, you know, if it's Carol or it's Ann, that those are relatively common names. But together, I mean, what?
Yeah.
Again, people will complete my sentence here. Too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence.
Exactly. I thought so too.
Very interesting. Well, thank you so much, Tamara, for sharing this very, very cool campfire story.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Robert is on the line from Minnesota, and we're so glad to have him on the line. He's going to tell us a very interesting story about some things that happened in Chicago with a roommate and so forth. Very interesting. But he's also going to tell us about a very special art exhibit at the end of this call. Robert, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us, and please tell us your experience.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jim. So I have had supernatural or paranormal experiences happen to me and lots of loved ones as far back as I can remember. I was born on Halloween. So maybe the spirits are kind of watching because of that. But one particular instance that has always stayed with me happened collectively to a group of friends. And I was living in Logan Square neighborhood of Chicago in 1993 to 1997. And I lived with a friend of mine and then a couple, and one of the members of that couple had a mother who was a Santera. So she was a priestess in the Santeria religion. And she would come over and sit with us and do readings and talk to us about things that were going on in our lives. She would throw divination stones. And, you know, we were all very sort of interested in this, but I wasn't sure that we all were taking it as serious as we should have.
Right.
And one day she heard a story of how a friend of ours was having dreams that a ghost was having sex with her. So she had declared that our friend Chantel had an incubus, and there was a whole cleansing that had to do with getting rid of that incubus. And you know, other things that were sort of interrupting our relationships or giving us problems at work. My friend Tony's mother would actually see it as different spirit entities that were coming between us, interfering with relationships, blocking paths, and often asked us to leave particular offerings in places to Orisha or to light Catholic candles. So those are the kinds of things that were happening. But we had had a party and nobody was drinking or doing drugs. It was just sort of a gathering. And a friend of mine, I remember from this party, I was telling her, looked down the corridor in our apartment and saw a featureless, large, 6-foot-tall sort of entity glide from the living room into our friend Richard's room.
Oh, my.
And Jonathan, who's very sort of pragmatic, skeptical guy who I've known since fifth grade, I remember walking curiously down the hall, like leaving us from the kitchen and then coming back and like looking like perplexed. And he later told me that that's what he had seen. And others had had dreams about this sort of featureless, almost like golem creature coming into our rooms or taking things off of shelves and throwing them on the floor. And a few of us had had nightmares about this. So when Tony's mom had heard about this, she was alarmed and felt that it was this entity that had gotten into our house or was sent out by my friend Richard's estranged wife, who he was trying to get divorced from. It was going to be amicable, but she wasn't signing papers, and it was becoming this prolonged thing that Richard was concerned about. And because it had seemed to be entering his room, she felt like it had something to do with that. So she had the entire house do this ritual that involved a cleansing and a number of other kinds of things. And it ended with us each being responsible for sweeping up the dirt in our sort of our private spaces, collecting it in a bag. And then Richard and I drove out with that, with 100 pennies, a cigar, and this bag of dirt to the gates of a graveyard, left it behind there, had to say this incantation. And then lo and behold, Jim, the next week, Richard's divorce became final. So, and a lot of the other kinds of strange things and ripples at work that were happening with some of us kind of died down. And so Tony's mom's sort of explanation of this was that this entity was permeating all of our sort of unconscious, but also carrying a little part of it into our other daily lives. It was obstructing things. And so once this cleansing had happened, this whole house cleansing, it dissipated and it went away. So that was something I've never forgotten, because the dreams stopped and a whole bunch of other kinds of things just kind of leveled out.
That's really interesting. And I do think that there are people who have powers and have these abilities. You know, whether you're pro one of these practices or you're not pro one of these practices, I think they do exist, and I do think that they can have power. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So how did that change you? Did it give you kind of a lifelong fascination with these topics? I assume so, since you're listening to a show called Campfire.
Yeah. You know, I had seen ghosts or, you know, heard things, watched paranormal sort of activity play out with witnesses of, you know, doors open, doorknobs jingle, things sort of move around on a table. These kinds of things have been things that have happened around me. But, you know, this kind of relationship to something and going up to it, you know, in the sort of ritual way that Tony's mom had suggested, and appeasing it some way, or appeasing the orishas that might have had some control over it, and having it be removed in that way, that kind of cause and effect and that engagement with the supernatural is not something that I had ever really thought was possible. You know, they just sort of were things that happened, but this, you know, seemed like it was a kind of communion on another level that helped alter, you know, the presence of this thing in our apartment. So for whether folks will believe that or not, you know, I think that this is an essential part of a lot of people's sort of sacred practices across religions. And so seeing it from that perspective was something that was new for me.
Robert, thank you for sharing your campfire story.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Rock Up Money. Now, how much do you think you're paying in subscriptions every month? The real answer is probably more than you think. Over 74% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about, and I know that I've been there. That's why I want to introduce you to Rocket Money, because with Rocket Money, you will no longer waste money on subscriptions that you forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, you have full control over your subscriptions and a clear view of your expenses. Now, you'll love how the dashboard, it shows you this month's spending compared to last month, so you can easily see your spending habits. Plus, they'll help you create a custom budget and keep your spending on track. And you can see all of those subscriptions in one place. And if you see something you don't want, Rocket Money can help you cancel it with a few taps. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So what are you waiting for? Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/campfire. That's rocketmoney.com/campfire. rocketmoney.com/campfire. And we thank Rocket Money for their support of Jim Harold's Campfire.
If you love The Campfire, be sure to check out The Paranormal Podcast, where every week, Jim interviews experts and authors about strange mysteries. Find it for free wherever you listen to this podcast. Tune in to The Paranormal Podcast today. Now, we return to Jim Harold's Campfire.
Next up is Carl from San Francisco, California. Every time I hear it, Carl, you might know. You may, I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, but every time I hear San Francisco, I think of the 49ers, I think of Tony Bennett, and I think of Rice-A-Roni, that San Francisco treat.
That's great. And also we have Carl the Fog here.
There you go. Excellent. Excellent.
Right.
Well, you're going to tell us about a head scratcher, and so glad to have you on the show. So please tell us about this head scratcher.
Oh, well, I suppose... Let's see, I guess it's 1983, and it was just north of San Francisco in Marin County. Grew up in a little town called Fairfax, and great little place to grow up. And I was living at home at the time. I guess I was 20, and I have brothers and sisters, and I had a younger brother, who's about 4 years younger than I am. And anyway, this occurred one evening. I was out with some friends, and my brother and I had kind of neat cars at the time. He had like a Pontiac Le Mans, and I had a 260Z Datsun, and Ooh, we took care of our cars. And I used to Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I used to go and hang out with these guys until all hours. And they were benign evenings. We'd just sit and talk for hours. And it was on another town close to Fairfax called San Anselmo. Anyway, I guess it was about 1:30 in the morning, 1983. But I don't know what time of year it was exactly. And I drive home from being with my buddies, and I lived up this long hill at the very top. There's about 20 homes at the top of this hill. And as I'm rounding the corner to turn into my driveway, the whole street is dark. Obviously, it's like 2 a.m, except for our house. Every single light was on in our house. And I said, at 2 a.m, I couldn't figure it out. Now I had a mother and father there. I had my brother and my sister living at the house at the time. But at 2 a.m, all the lights are on. So I pull into the driveway. I turn off the motor and I get out and I walk to our front door into the kitchen. And every light is on. Not a soul in the house, as far as I can tell. I called out a few names, and I decided to walk upstairs and check the bedrooms. So the first bedroom I come to is my brother's, and I knock on his door, and I open his door, and his bed is perfectly made, which I thought was a little disturbing at this time of night. So the next room I went into was my little sister's. And her bedclothes were pulled to the side as if she had gotten out for some reason. But her lights are on. Then I knocked on my parents' door. Same thing. Their bedclothes are off to the side, like they had made some sort of an escape or something. I had no idea.
So normally they all would have been in their beds that time of night at the house?
Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah. As I'd have to quietly step in and go downstairs to my room.
I want to make sure I got it straight. Would it have been usually your parents, your brother, and your sister? Is that right?
Right. They would be home.
Okay.
Upon my arrival, for sure, in bed. So I made it my way back down to the kitchen, and was trying to figure out what to do, and had decided to call a neighbor to see if they had heard anything over here or seen anything take place. So I called my neighbor at 2 a.m. Very nice woman, an old friend of ours. She said, "I'm sorry, Carl. I have no idea what you're talking about. No, we didn't hear about anything." So then I'm sitting in front of the old rotary phones. Remember, this is a time before cell phones.
Oh, yeah. We had one on the kitchen wall.
On the kitchen wall, exactly. So I go, what to do here? So I decided to call the sheriff's department. And look, we were out of the city limits, so the sheriff were the people to connect with. And so I called them and I said, "I live at this address. Have there been any reports of anything going on here?" And the sheriff said, "I'm sorry. If I were you, I'd try the hospitals." So I said, "Okay, that makes sense." So there's a hospital about 7 miles away from where I live. And I called their emergency room. And they said, "You know, we usually pass into the payphone. So let me give you that number. And if someone's in the waiting room, they'll pick up the payphone." You with me here?
Yeah.
So they gave me the payphone number at the first hospital. I called, someone picked up, and they said, "Listen, do you have a so-and-so Taylor in your waiting room? Is there anybody by this name Taylor in your waiting room?" And so she asked around, and no, there wasn't. So I said, "Okay." So she hung up the phone, and I decided to call the main hospital waiting room. And now this is where it gets really interesting. So I call the emergency room at the main hospital, and they give me the same routine. "Please call the payphone."
Oh.
So I dial the payphone, and a person picks up, and I said, "Excuse me, I understand that I'm supposed to call the payphone to find out if anybody's in your waiting room. Do you have a Mrs. Taylor or a Mr. Taylor in your waiting room?" And she goes, "Well, hold on, let me find out here, just one moment." And all of a sudden she goes, "Yes, as a matter of fact." So all of a sudden my mom comes to the phone.
Oh, boy.
And this is unbelievable, Jim, this part. So I say, Mom, what's going on? And she goes, what are you talking about? And I go, well, why? Who's in the hospital? What's the emergency? And she goes, what are you doing calling me here? And I said, well, I checked around. All the lights are on in the house. Mrs. H from across the street, I had no idea what happened. And I decided to call the hospitals, and you're at this hospital. So what's going on? And this is it, Jim. She goes, Carl, I just walked up the hill because your brother's car broke down. And I knew that they had a payphone here in this hospital.
Oh, how weird.
So I came up here to use this payphone to call a tow truck.
That's bizarre.
And now, Jim, here it gets even better. So I go, oh, my God, Ma. I go, this is astounding. Can you believe you're at the payphone that I called you at? And she goes, I don't understand why it's that big of a deal. And I'm in a hurry, and I want to get home. And my mom is the sweetest, greatest person, but she was a little annoyed. She goes, I've got a call to make here. And I go, wait. Don't you understand? She goes, we'll talk when we get home. So I'm sitting there going, she doesn't think that's interesting or bizarre at all. The fact that she happened to be at that payphone. So they get home, and I'm sitting there on the couch, and I look at them, and I go, everything's okay? And he goes, oh, yeah, we had his car towed. And I go, Mom, can you believe you were at this payphone? She goes, you know, sweetie, she goes, I don't find it that interesting, and I don't think it's that bizarre. And I go, well, wait a minute. I just don't understand. I understand. And it's so funny because, thankfully, I still have my mom.
Right.
And to this day, she vaguely remembers it and still doesn't feel that it was that big of a deal.
I think it's a pretty wild synchronicity. Now, what happened with the maybe I missed it. What happened with the rest of the family?
Everybody was fine. Everybody piled in the car.
Oh, they all went together. Yeah.
And they all went down to, you know, because Lisa, my little sister, was too young to stay home.
Sure.
So they just all got in the car to go help Mark. His car happened to break down near a hospital, near a phone.
That is, that you happened to call.
Exactly. I hope that fits into your...
Yeah, it absolutely does. This, to me, is a head-scratcher. Just kind of, you know, there was a song back in the 80s or 90s, things that make you go, hmm. And this is definitely one of those things that make you go, hmm.
Right.
And just kind of wonder, what was that all about? A definite head-scratcher. Carl, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was a joy. Thanks, Jim.
Lena from L.A. is joining us, and she has a story. And we just had another call like this. I don't know if they'll air together, but sometimes I say the shows produce themselves where a loved one gets a message across. Lena, thank you for joining us, and please tell us what happened.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, well, here's a little bit of a backstory. It's happened on a Saturday where I just gotten my Reiki Master attunement, and my husband was out of town on business. So it was just my then 6-year-old daughter and myself in our apartment. And on that Sunday night after the attunement, which had happened on Saturday, I was talking to a friend on the phone that night. My daughter was already asleep in her room.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to be glancing out into the living room area, and I saw this dark silhouette walking through the living room.
Oh, boy.
And for some reason, I didn't freak out, even though I get very nervous when my husband's not around. I just like shrugged my shoulders and said, okay.
You're braver than me. I can say that.
Well, like I said, I don't know, because normally I wouldn't. And anyway, so I get off the phone, turn off the lights, and go to sleep. The next morning, I get my daughter and myself ready for school and work, and we leave the apartment. And like I said, there's nobody else there except for myself and my daughter. And so my mother-in-law is the one who picks her up after school and then brings her back to the apartment and stays with her until I get home that night. So when I get home, my daughter comes running out onto the porch, and she's really excited. And she's talking about there being earrings on the door. And it's like, well, what are you talking about, earrings on the door? And I get in there, and my mother-in-law hands me this pair of earrings and says that when they came up to the door, that they were hanging, or there, at least there was one hanging at adult eye level on the inside of the screen door. And the other one was kind of like it had fallen, was on like the threshold there of the door. And I look at them, and there's these pair of earrings that my mother had given to me when I was very young, probably around my daughter's age. And it was the last remaining pair of the earrings that I'd gotten as from my childhood. And I had given them to my daughter a few months before, saying, you know, this is a, you know, from me, from your grandmother who you never got to meet, because she had died when I was 18. So my daughter had never gotten to meet her, but I'd named her after her. And I said, but you know, since you keep losing your earrings right now, I'm going to hold on to them for a while until you're a little older. And she was fine with that.
Sure.
And she wasn't around when I put them away. I'd wrapped them up in tissue paper. I put them in a little box and I hid it all the way in the back of the drawer of my dressing table. So I don't think anyone knew where they were except for me. So how they got on on the screen door, I don't know. But you know, at that point, I just kind of got like this inkling that had to something to do with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I go to the dressing table, pull out the drawer, pull out the box. And sure enough, it's still in there with the tissue paper, but of course, no earrings.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, the more I thought about it, it's like, this might have been my mom. That might have been her walking through the living room last night, which would explain me not being scared, even though I didn't know. And I was thinking perhaps she was showing me or telling me in some way that she was proud of me for, you know, becoming a Reiki master.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes. I mean, she was very, very Catholic, very religious type, but she was also very open-minded about things other than what she was supposed to believe in. In other words, so I think she probably would have been very proud of me being a Reiki master.
Well, it sounds like she certainly would have. And, you know, again, what other explanation is there for that? Your daughter couldn't get to them or didn't know where they were at. You certainly didn't do it. So who did it and why?
Exactly. And, you know, through the years, though, I think that she's probably, you know, my mom is probably visited my daughter, and then we have a younger daughter as well. And I remember on her wedding day, my eldest daughter, then while she was taking her vows, I saw this ladybug land on her veil. And it's like, I don't know that anyone else noticed it, but it was just like my eye just went straight to this ladybug landing on her veil. And it's like, I'm just absolutely convinced it was my mom.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I believe our loved ones get their message across. Lena, thank you so much for sharing your story on The Campfire.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Do you have a pet? If so, I'm going to tell you about something that you'll really enjoy, and it's totally free. It's this week's episode of the Paranormal Podcast, and you can find it wherever you listen to The Campfire. And it is with Nancy Mello, pet psychic. And she spills the secrets of what she has learned in communicating with dogs and cats and other animals psychically. It's a fascinating episode, and it's available wherever you listen to The Campfire. I hope you'll check out the Paranormal Podcast this week with pet psychic Nancy Mello. Thanks. Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Policy Genius. Now, you know, over the years, I have stressed how much I believe in life insurance, and that is the honest truth. I really do and insist on it in my family. But I know if you do it the old-fashioned way, it can be a real pain, a real hassle. But luckily, there is Policy Genius. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. It saves you time and money so you can provide your family with a financial safety net starting today. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. And for me, life insurance is peace of mind. It makes me know that, God forbid, something happened to me, that my family is provided for, that they can pay educational bills, that they can pay housing bills. They can pay utilities. They can spend their time getting back on their feet emotionally and not worrying about the money piece of it. That's what life insurance does for me, peace of mind. And Policy Genius, it's convenient and time-saving because they help you compare the options from top companies and their team of licensed experts who work for you, not the insurance companies. Well, they're on hand to help talk you through it. You can easily compare quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Now, you might say, Jim, I've got life insurance through my work, and that's great. But did you know your work life insurance policy may not offer enough protection for your family's needs? And even worse, it might not come with you if you leave your job. That's why you should check into Policy Genius. Entirely trustworthy. They give you unbiased advice, and they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot from customers who found the best fit for their needs through Policy Genius. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. And we thank Policy Genius for their support of Jim Harold's Campfire.
You're listening to Jim Harold's Campfire.
Heidi is on the line from Pennsylvania. She found out about us from that great podcast, Astonishing Legends. Check it out. And some of our favorite stories are about loved ones who find a way, maybe it's subtle, maybe it's kind of indirect, but they find a way to make contact. And that's the kind of story Heidi has for us tonight. Heidi, welcome to the program. Thanks for listening and for calling in. And tell us your story.
Thanks, Jim. I'm so happy to be on with you. About 29 years ago, my mother passed away, and I was barely out of my 20s. It was, for me, very much a case of gone way too soon, and I've missed her terribly ever since. She never got to meet my husband or my children, so I kind of found a way of commemorating her in a way that I'm trying to remember the first time it happened, but I can just tell you that over the years, there will be a ladybug that will appear suddenly on the wall or the ceiling, usually off season, in cold weather, often when I'm sad or in despair or just thinking of my mom. There'll just all of a sudden be a ladybug that appears in our home or in our apartment, and usually against the wall or the ceiling, so you can't miss that she's here. And so whenever a ladybug would appear, I would say to my sons, "That's a Ruthie." My mother's name was Ruth.
Love it.
So I would say, "That's a Ruthie." So whenever we would see a ladybug, my children would say, "Look, Mom, it's a Ruthie." So these ladybugs would appear at very interesting times, always off season. So it wasn't as though, you know, the roses were in bloom and you'd open your window and the ladybug would fly in. Usually in wintertime, in March or February, we'd suddenly see a ladybug and we'd feel like that there was a message from my mom that she was thinking of us or she was there for us. And actually one time, very close friend of mine lost her mother. And then that night, I was getting ready for bed and there was a ladybug on the wall of our bathroom, our master bedroom's ensuite bathroom. And I immediately told my friend Patty, I said, "My mom has come to tell us that she's going to be welcoming your mom and it's going to be okay." And Patty was very touched by that. And I think it really made her feel better, you know, having lost her mom. So over the years, it's been a comfort to have these ladybugs appear. And as I said, it's always at odd times. So recently we went through a very difficult period with my son. I won't go into details, but just very, very heart-wrenching, frightening, and worrisome time with my younger son. And I really wasn't sure that things were going to be okay. For the first time in my life, I really had a sense that things might not be okay. So we went ahead, though, and we scheduled college visits for him. And we were visiting a college just outside of Chestertown, Maryland, and I was staying in a huge old Victorian bed and breakfast, actually an Airbnb, huge Victorian, only partially restored. And as I'm walking up the stairs with the woman who's hosting me, I said, are there any stories about this place having spirits or hauntings or anything interesting like that? Because I noticed that part of the staircases here and there were walled off kind of randomly. And I thought there must be these passages that they don't live in, but have walled off. And it just struck me that there would be spirits that would love to live in those places. So she was a little unsure how to answer me. I think she was afraid that if she said yes, I would run, I would turn and run. So she said, why do you ask? And I said, oh, I'm just curious if there are stories or, you know, not that I won't stay tonight, but just if there are interesting stories that you could tell. She said, no, as far as I know, there's nothing here. And I thought to myself, there are spirits here. I really think there are spirits here. So I went to bed that night, actually very, very worried about my son, still trying to sort of hang on to some hope. And as I'm falling asleep, I realize that I've gotten an email, and I look at the email, and it is a message from one of the colleges that he's been accepted. And it's one of those email messages where they get confetti to fall all over it. So it's sort of like this little special effect, you know, where it says, you know, congratulations, you've been accepted, and confetti is falling. And I just felt elated. I felt just so elated. I really did. It just made me so happy. And here he was in another town visiting another college, but something about this particular college accepting him made me feel very good. So I went to bed feeling a little bit better, and I kept the light on because I had to keep the electricity moving through part of the room so that the iHome alarm clock charger thing that I have for my iPhone could stay on. Because if you turned off the main light, there was no electricity in the room at all.
Right, right.
So I had to keep the overhead light on. And as I'm falling asleep, I noticed there was something flying into the light. And it didn't look like a moth, and it didn't look like a fly. And I thought, you know, if that's a ladybug, I should get up and check. But I was too sleepy, and so I just fell asleep. And in the morning when I woke up, I sort of did something that I'm not usually aware of doing, which is sort of waking up gradually. And I looked over to the bedside table, and I see, and it's a black sort of little black bedside table that somebody probably repainted. It probably once been wood, and they repainted it black. And against the black, very clearly, I could see a ladybug. And I thought, oh, wow, that was a ladybug then that was flying off the overhead light. And I should have rescued it while I had the chance. And so I got up and very gingerly walked over to the window towards where I had my things so that I could start getting ready for the morning. And I noticed on the windowsill there was a ladybug. And I looked down, and where I had stepped right near my foot, there was a ladybug. And suddenly I thought, something is happening. And I stopped. And I can't be sure, Jim, but it felt to me as though they were appearing in real time. Although I don't know how much, and that sort of stretches credulity more than I guess I'd be willing to put out there. Mm-hmm. But it felt as though they appeared in real time. In other words, every time I took a step, I saw a ladybug. And then I looked up, and the blinds and the windowsills all on the side of the room where I had slept were covered in ladybugs. I mean, about at least 80 or 90 ladybugs. And wow. This is in March. Yeah, this is in March. And I think you'll know because you're in Ohio, we've had a very, very unusually cold spring.
Yep.
It's not one of those springs where the warmth seemed to come early. It snowed well into April. It was freezing and it just snowed. And so the fact that this room was covered in ladybugs struck me as a huge message from my mother. But then I thought, oh, now I have to interpret this. And I stood in the middle of the room and I was afraid to step because every time I put a foot forward, there was a ladybug there. So I was actually afraid to walk. I didn't want to walk on any of them. So they were all over the blinds, all over the windowsills, and on the rug, on the floor. And I stood there in the middle of the room and I said, "But Mom, what are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me that Aaron should go to this school in Maryland where we're visiting? Or are you responding to the elation I felt last night when I got the email that he was accepted into this other school in Pennsylvania?" So for a little while, I just stood there transfixed thinking, this is a huge message, but I'm not sure, you know, what the import of it is and what I'm supposed to do now. But it was the most miraculous thing that's ever happened to me, Jim. And even over the years when a little ladybug has appeared, they've always come singly. You know, I've never had a huge mass of ladybugs appear. And this was really off season. So I don't know how else to explain it except that it was a message. But I know it seems sort of, I mean, obviously, you know, we all listen to and tell these fantastic stories. But this, what was really interesting to me, and I wish I could go back and relive it truly, was that it seemed to unfold in real time that they appeared around me. And that was what was most interesting, because I think if I had woken up and looked in front of me, I would have seen a lot of ladybugs. And instead, it sort of unfolded gradually as an experience. And that's part of what made it such a miracle for me, because I was drawn into this experience, if you know what I mean.
Sure. Now, a quick question for you.
Sure.
Why do you think your mom has chosen ladybugs?
Well, I think I kind of chose them with her somehow. I just sensed when I saw ladybugs, and this goes back years, that it was my mom coming to say hi. And I can't explain why, but there was just something. My mom and I were really, really close. And I think it's what they call sensitive, not psychic by any means, but just sort of sensitive, particularly with one another. We had a very, very unusually close bond. And so I think my sort of seizing onto the ladybug as a sign that she was communicating with me was something that she must have decided was okay with her, because it was as though the ladybug was as good a way as any for her to reach me and for me to identify that it was her coming to me. And sometimes I also think, sometimes when I see robins, you know, I'll think sometimes that might also be my mom, but ladybugs have a particular significance. And it's really just one that's just grown up, because I think when I first saw ladybug and my sons were with me, I just made it into a kind of a story for them, because they didn't know their grandmother and they would never know her except through stories. And so that was my way of capturing her still being around. And I guess it was just kind of, it was not quite random, but it wasn't as though my mom and I had a thing about ladybugs, although my mother was a gardener. And she would say, you know, ladybugs protect, we had a lot of rose bushes, and she would say they protect against aphids. But it could have been anything. But for some reason, ladybugs seemed to be something that we almost agreed on kind of psychically. And ever since then, they've just appeared, and always off season and almost always when it's cold. It's always very moving to me when I see one. And I usually try to rescue it. If it's still living, I try to make sure that nothing happens to it.
Well, Heidi, I love that story. And thank you so much for sharing it with us on The Campfire.
Oh, you're welcome. And I love being a listener, Jim. I just love it. It's just a wonderful experience to be part of what you do. Thank you.
And next we have Marcy from Iowa, and she has a very poignant story. One about her mom, and then kind of a connected story about a beloved pet. And before we get started, Marcy has a small baby there, so we might hear a little bit of fussing, because apparently she doesn't want to go down to bed right now. The baby I'm talking about, not Marcy. So if we hear a little crying, let's be patient and let Marcy tell her story. Marcy, thanks for joining us on The Campfire. Tell us what happened.
Well, thanks for having me. Well, my mom had, we live in different cities, and when we didn't get in contact every day, but my dog one day, his name was Boomer. Mm-hmm. I had Monday off, and I was kind of cleaning around the house or whatever, and we used to play a game with him where I would pinch his rear end, and we'd say pinchy, 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 and he'd jump up and bounce around and try and grab at, you know, his rear end.
Right.
And it was just kind of a funny, whatever, silly thing that you do with your dog. Well, one morning I was out and I'm cleaning, and all of a sudden he started doing that just out of the blue.
Right.
Out of nowhere. And I thought, well, that was kind of weird, you know, but kind of didn't think anything of it. Well, it was, I can't remember if it was the next day or the day after that. To make a long story short, we found out my mom had passed away.
Oh.
And of course that was, you know, that was awful. And then I got to thinking that that is exactly what my mom would do, because I've had a lot of instances where someone has passed, and it seems like 3 days later, I have experiences with that. And mm-hmm. that was almost exactly to the time, that he did that.
Well, that's, you know, and that, to me, actually, somebody asked me not this long ago on an interview that I was doing, what is the one thing that I believe in more than any kind of paranormal activity? And I think number one for me, maybe because I think I had an experience with it, is that there's some connection between us and our loved ones after a loved one passes. I believe that.
I think so, too. And this is kind of an offshoot, but for about a year after my mom passed away, my mom, ever since I was little, had kept pennies for me ever since I was born.
Right.
And ended up, when she died, we found out that she had like $1,500 worth of pennies.
Wow.
And yeah, and it was kind of her trademark, and that's, everybody kind of knew her. She had a huge penny on her keychain. And so for about a year after she died, I would find pennies everywhere. And wow. I just knew that was mom.
Yeah. She was kind of leaving them there to kind of say, hey,
Don't forget me.
Yeah, I'm still around. I may not be around on this earth, but I'm still with you, and I'm watching you, and you're in my thoughts.
Right. And she was pretty sassy, but she did love my dog, and that was just typical for something that she would do. And then about maybe 3 years ago, we had to put that particular dog to sleep. Mm. He was sick and not doing real well, and so we have another dog, a golden retriever black lab mix, who grew up with this other dog, with Boomer, and her name is Phoebe, and who we still have. And one night Phoebe, out of nowhere, about 3 days after we put Boomer to sleep, out of nowhere started barking at something in our hallway. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And she'd never acted that way before. And of course I go out and I look to see, you know, if something was in the window or, you know, what, and there was nothing there. And all of a sudden I said, is it Boomer?
Mm-hmm.
And she just kind of sat there, and then it was gone.
Oh.
And I mean, right now I have goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah. It's, it's really something when something like this happens to you. It's kind of like, because I think we're all so into a lot of us are so into this stuff that we tend to forget that weird things really happen to people. And then when it happens to us, it's kind of like, it really is real, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, and like I said, I probably normally wouldn't have thought any of those things, but I tend to have these. Yeah.
She's agreeing with us.
She is. She is definitely. I tend to have these experiences and these things happen to me quite often. And I've learned to trust my gut instinct, and my gut instinct was she was barking at Boomer, who was, mm-hmm. I personally think he was coming back to say goodbye.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for sharing this story. I really do appreciate it. And, you know, if any other stories come to mind, please let us know and send us a note. And thanks so much for being on the campfire tonight and sharing those stories.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
And I hope she gets to sleep for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Jim Harold's Campfire. is brought to you by Ritual. You know that saying, trust your gut. Well, most of the time my gut feeling is right. Sometimes it's wrong. But when you have to deal with gut stuff, you might want to think about a probiotic. Now, a probiotic can't help with your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. They made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Now, did you know that things in your life like poor diet, stress, travel, the use of certain medications, and plenty of other factors can throw off your gut microbiome? Enter Ritual and their 3-in-1 supplement, including clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support the relief of mild and occasional bloating, gas, and diarrhea. I'm talking about Symbiotic Plus. Indeed, I take it every day, and I take Ritual multivitamins as well. They are part of my daily ritual. And I think the reason that I trust Ritual both with their multivitamin and Symbiotic Plus is they do things the right way. For example, they're tested rigorously and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual put their money where their mouth was and invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed Symbiotic Plus significantly increased microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. And Ritual multivitamins, they're vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp and made traceable. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/campfire. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/campfire for 25% off. And we thank Ritual for their support. I'm Jim Harold's Campfire and my gut.
Want the entire Campfire archive going back to 2009 plus much more? Get in on Jim's Plus Club at jimharoldplus.com. Now, back to another great story.
Nikki is on the line from Denver, and she is a return caller. Always glad to hear that. Glad we didn't scare anybody off. And Nikki, you might remember a while back, told us about her apartment and some strangeness there. And there were some final incidents that she wanted to add on and tell us about to conclude that story. And she is back. Nikki, welcome back to the show. And tell us, maybe just give us a brief recap of what had happened in your apartment and then tell this other piece, if you would.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So in my apartment, I'd had some various visitations. I would be touched. Something ran its finger down my back and sat on my bed and pulled on the covers and moved some stuff around the house and various things like that to make its presence known. And then one night I was sleeping, and because of all the visitations, I do sleep with the lights on. I wear an eye mask to block out the light. And I also sleep on my back because, you know, they like to touch me. I like to be a little bit more guarded by sleeping on my back. And this night, I decided to sleep on my side. And as I rolled over, a little voice in my head said, "You're probably going to regret this." But I did it anyway because it's truly more comfortable for me. And I went to sleep. And about 3:30 in the morning, I woke up, and I woke up to myself saying, "Someone's here." And when I realized that those words were coming out of my mouth, I opened my eyes, and through the gap in my eye mask, I could see there was some sort of being standing next to my bed. And I only noticed this because I could see them blocking out the light from my lamp, and I could see them moving. And not only could I see them, the shadow of them, but I could also hear them, and I could feel them moving as well. And they were moving something around my head, in between my head and my nightstand. And it was above my pillow. And I'm not sure even to this day what they were doing. I couldn't find any evidence of something being done. But I did notice the next day that my stack of books that I keep directly next to my bed was moved about 18 inches away from my bed. So they moved those to get closer to me for some reason.
So they spent about, I'd say about 15 seconds doing whatever they were doing next to my head. And then I felt them leave the room. At this point, I'm pretty freaked out and am wide awake and trying to make sense of what had just happened. And then about an hour to an hour and a half later, it comes back. And I can hear it coming in my door. I can hear it as it walked. I could hear the footsteps, you know, like shuffling on the carpet. And it came up behind my back and it leaned down with its knee pressed against the small of my back. And it leaned over and it pulled the covers up over my shoulders.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So this really freaked me out. I was not expecting this. You know, that's just something you can't mistake. You know, that was so pronounced that, of course, I'm on edge at this point and I'm, you know, even more awake than I was before. And then I noticed that my cats who were sleeping on the bed with me, they didn't even flinch. They didn't move. They didn't notice anything. You know, like they weren't scared at all. And after I moved over on my back and was paying attention to them, they both just nonchalantly stretched and jumped off the bed like nothing had happened. And, you know, I got up early and I got out of bed early and got ready and went to work right away because I just didn't want to be in the apartment anymore. And later that day, I have a psychic friend and I asked her what her impression was, you know, who she thought that could be. And she immediately said that she thought it was my mom. And my mom had passed away in 2017, but we didn't speak for the last 12 years of her life because we just couldn't get along. And so I told her, I said, I don't think that's the case. You know, we didn't get along. I can't imagine she'd come back and tuck me in. You know, that's kind of crazy to think, you know, since we didn't get along. But she insisted that that's who she really felt that it could be. So I sat with that for a while. And then I had heard that a good way to communicate with somebody on the other side is to ask them to come through with a message through music. And I'm a huge music fan. And I have a ton of songs on my iPod.
Nikki, I got to tell you something. This is extremely, I hate to interrupt you, but this is extremely strange. I got to tell you what's happened here. We have recorded today, you're the seventh call, I believe. And I think that something like four or five calls have surrounded people and music and messages from loved ones for music. And I was talking about it today on social media and how remarkable this has been. And strangely enough, it's happened again. It's happened again. You're actually the fourth person I'm looking here. The fourth person has talked about this. This is getting weirder and weirder in a very good way. So finish your story. I'm sorry.
Oh, sure. Not a problem. So I have about 6,000 songs on my iPod. And I asked her, you know, if that was her. Would she tell me so with the next song that came up on my iPod and I hit shuffle? When I hit shuffle, the very first song that came up was a song titled Sleeping Beauty from A Perfect Circle. And that to me was just too big of a coincidence to not be something. So I just decided that, hey, it must have been my mom. And, I should just think that maybe she's trying to make amends on the other side, or, you know, that's her way of saying that she wants to get along, and, you know, and that was her message to me.
That's amazing. And I think it happens. And we have several stories this week. And the thing is, all these stories, folks, you're hearing, this is going to be put out around the 22nd of October, this show. Every call you've heard tonight about music has been recorded you're going to hear it in the order it was recorded. And none of this was pre-set up. Like I said, this show or something produces itself sometimes. Certainly we've seen that. Well, Nikki, I've got to believe that that brought you a lot of closure and made you feel better.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like I can have a relationship with her once again. And, you know, who knows if we'll have further contact in some other means.
Well, Nikki, thank you. Thank you for joining us and thank you for continuing today's musical theme.
Absolutely, Jim. Thank you.
Julia is on the line from Utah. She heard about us from The Great Astonishing Legends. Check out their podcast if you haven't. They do a great job. Actually, Julia is a podcaster too, and we'll have her tell us a little bit about that at the end of her call here. But first, she is going to tell us about a spooky story that starts with when her mother built a house and strangeness ensued. Julia, welcome to the program and tell us what happened.
So about almost 15 years ago, my mom built a house out in a town called Plain City, Utah. And the house was built on land that had formerly been farmland. So this was a brand new neighborhood, and she built it right next door to her brother. And Plain City is right next door to the town that she grew up in. So she was very familiar with the area, and she knows a lot of people out there. So this land that was formerly farmland, she was told by a historian in Plain City that that land was formerly used as a Native American summer campground.
Huh.
Because there's a nice little river that runs through there, and it's just a nice little patch of land. So probably 10 years ago, one night I was asleep. That was when my sister and I both lived at home. I was asleep and I felt something sitting on my bed.
Oh boy.
And I was, and just to kind of give you a little bit of background information on my sleeping, I am a sleepwalker. I'm a sleep talker. I remember my dreams pretty much every night. So I knew, and because of that, I knew that this was not just in my sleep. I felt the weight of something on my bed. And I knew it wasn't my cat because he has a bell on his, he had a bell on his collar.
Right.
So I would have heard him come in. And my dog was too little to jump onto my bed unless she got a running start. So, and, you know, I didn't hear her. And it really terrified me. I wanted whatever that was off of my bed. So I laid there with my eyes closed and I got all my courage together. And all I could do was kick. So I kicked where this thing was as fast and as hard as I could. And whatever it was left, but my leg where I had kicked, whatever it was,
yeah,
was tingly like pins and needles.
Oh man.
It wasn't like my leg was asleep. It just felt like just the weirdest pins and needles feeling that I haven't felt since or before.
Oh man.
It was so weird.
That is weird.
And you know, there's just a lot of weird things like, out of the blue one night, well, yeah, my grandma was talking to my mom, and my grandma had been staying next door. Like I said, my uncle lived next door to my mom, and him and his wife were out of town. So my grandma was staying at their house with their two kids. And while she was there, she saw a black figure in the bedroom one night. She just woke up with a start and she saw this thing just standing there kind of looking at her.
Oh man.
And my aunt that lives there has actually seen the same thing. My sister and I've seen the black figure. She's heard like a trickster kind of speaking in my voice right in her ear saying her name.
Oh man.
And the neighbor one night, probably 5 years ago, you know, the neighbors were just kind of all out talking. And I mentioned to the one on the other side of my mom, I said, have you ever seen or felt anything weird? Because me and my sister had, and my aunt had, and my grandma had. And he said, you know, every once in a while, I will be in the basement working and I will just feel something with their eyes on me. And he said one time, it scared me so bad. He said, even as a grown man, it scared me so bad. I ran up the stairs as fast as I could just to get away from it.
Ooh.
He said, I don't know what it was. It just really scared me to death.
Oh, man. So
I don't know what it is, but I, you know, when I lived there, I would, you know, when I'd be asleep, I'd feel something like tugging on my hair, not hard.
Right.
But it never really scared me. The only time I was ever scared was when whatever it was sat on my bed.
That would do it.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this now. Is the house still in the family?
Yeah, my mom still lives there. And my uncle still lives next door. So I don't see either one of them going anywhere anytime soon.
Does strange stuff continue to happen?
My mom doesn't pick up on it. And my sister isn't there anymore. I don't live there anymore. But, you know, when I do go over to my mom's, sometimes I'll be over there by myself. And I will feel like something's watching me. And it's not... I don't feel like I'm being threatened. I just feel like there's someone there just kind of hanging out. Huh. I know that sounds weird, but that's all that I really get, that I'm just not alone.
Well, there you have it. And you're certainly not alone in having these kind of experiences. We've had many people say that they've had a figure or something visit them in the night. Sitting down on the bed, though, that's indeed pretty scary.
Yeah, and that was just so weird. I could just feel the full weight of something sitting there.
And I just had this discussion with another caller. I'm not sure if it's going to be on tonight's show or not, but we were talking about having an interest in the paranormal is one thing, but when something visits you 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not expecting it, you're asleep, or maybe you're alone at a workplace as this person was, it might not be just as much fun as you think it might be.
Right. Like I said, you know, like there's things that are creepy, but I've never really been scared. And so I can totally understand that when you're not expecting it, it's not
right.
Anything you want.
That's right. Well, Julia, thank you so much for joining us tonight on the Campfire. And, I wanted to do one last thing, and I want to forget about this. You are also a podcaster. Now, many people don't know this, but I also have a true crime podcast, and we were talking and comparing notes. It's called Jim Harold's Crime Scene, by the way, and comparing notes, and you have a true crime podcast. Tell us about that.
That's right. It's called Zion's Lost, and it's based on missing people in my home state of Utah. Right now, we are in the middle of a multi-part series on Susan Cox Powell, and people are really enjoying that. So we're fairly new, but it's picking up speed. So we're excited about it. It's me and my sister that do it.
Well, I'll tell you, podcasting changed my life. So anybody who embarks on that journey, I wish them the best. And Julia, I wish you the best. And thank you for being a part of the Campfire tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And next on our show, we have Steph. She's joining us from Massachusetts. She has a very poignant story about the passing of her mom. Thanks so much for joining us on the show tonight, Steph.
Oh, thanks, Jim. I really appreciate being able to share this story with everyone.
So tell us a little bit about what happened when your mom passed. It's a short but very, very poignant story.
Well, what happened is she was in her 80s, and she took ill through multiple strokes, and we took care of her for quite a few years. She had a great sense of humor, wonderful person, and eventually, though, she deteriorated to where we had to put her into a hospital down the street, and then one evening we got, you know, the call that her oxygen level had dropped to 65%, and the whole family rushed in. So we surrounded her bedside, and the doctor basically said, you know, she's going. It's time for her to pass. So I'm holding her hand, and my brother was with her, and he was a fire chief and an EMT, and he's been very analytical and holding on to her wrist and listening to her pulse. And as she's passing away, you know, she had a single tear drop from her, and suddenly, you know, I got to say real quick, I have never seen a ghost. I'm not even sure if I believe in them. So I'm watching my mom, and it was almost like a second eye. I could see something happening right in front of me, right by her chest, and I could hear a whooshing sound. As the kid dropped from her cheek, this brown swirl just came out of her and within a second crossed the distance between us, hit me, thump, right in the chest, and it was gone. At that point, my brother said, "She's gone." And I'm like, no. She's not gone. Now, I didn't feel possessed or anything like that, and the feeling faded away, but it was the most amazing thing for me. I literally saw this brown swirl just float right from her and right to me as she passed away.
As you've had time to reflect upon it and think about what happened, what do you think it was?
You know, I think what it really meant to me, because this happened about 10 years ago, and I really think that we're more than just this physical body. We travel from maybe body to body, and it really kind of, I was wondering, really, what type of creature are we? Are we something else, or like an energy force that we imprint upon, that we get imprinted upon, and we move from being an experience to experience? My father passed away 2 years later, and very much like, okay, is this going to happen again? I thank God I was fortunate to be with both of my parents when they passed. With my dad, it was just a quieting of the room as if he just left.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing there. So I don't really understand what happened. I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen anything like this before. And I have never heard of a story like this. But we're all there awake. I was the only one that saw it. My mom and I were, you know, very, very close. And to see this almost like a swirling gas come at me, it was kind of a shock. You can imagine.
Oh, of course. And I guess what I would say is I think in your email you expressed that you'd be interested if others have had a similar experience. And by all means, listeners, please let us know if you've had an experience like this, if you just want to send us a note, or if you want to be on the show and share your story. Because I think, you know, we've all had loved ones who are close to us who have passed away. And I think that one of the great questions of life is, what's happened to them? Are they still around in some form? You know, will we be reunited with them eventually in some way? And I think that your story and stories like it really speak to some of the greatest mysteries of life. So I'd like to thank you for coming on the show tonight and sharing your story, Steph.
Thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for tuning into The Campfire. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I hope you moms out there have the best Mother's Day ever. Also, remember to check out that new book, Jim Harold's Campfire 6. Find it at jimharold.com. Click on the green button there, or you can search directly at places like Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody, and stay spooky. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.